Say, I expect. What do you expect? Have you ever thought about that? The Bible talks about faith is a substance of things hoped for. The Bible says that hope, if you have it, why do you hope for it anymore? Hope is connected to something you don't see that you are expecting. What do you expect? If you expect a bad week, sometimes I think we create our own bad week. Sometimes I jokingly say it, and it's true, that some Christians don't need a devil. They do enough destructive things with their words and their actions and their expectation, and they just become self-prophetic about how bad their week's going to be. Oh, it's another week. It's just, snow's coming, and I bet I'm going to fall and get sick. And they just set the direction of the sail of their ship, all based on their words, James tells us. What is your expectation? What is your expectation? And who has defined it for you? Many times what we are looking toward or what we're looking for or what we're expecting comes out of our past experience or the words that have been fed into our heart through our ears and our eyes. Well, nothing's good ever happened. Gideon looked at his life when approached by an angel and said, mighty man of valor, a warrior. And Gideon said, wait, you understand, my family's the least of all the families. I'm the least in my family. His expectation was for something that was not important. You must be talking to somebody different. You must be calling upon somebody different. And yet if we don't learn how to respond to the calling of God, we miss out on the opportunities that God has for us. He had to learn how to respond correctly. And on the journey, the Bible says, check it out, challenge everything I said with the word of God. On the journey, he began to have a different attitude. He began to have an awakening aware of who he was. Samuel could not begin to step into the future prophetic opportunity that God had given him until Samuel had learned to respond correctly to the invitation in front of him. Let me say that again. Samuel could not step into a prophetic phase that was called. That we know Samuel later on in his life was an amazing prophet of God. But in the early stages, in the early phases, he had to learn how to respond correctly to the current invitation before he could step in the prophetic opportunity. Because Samuel heard from heaven, and he didn't realize it was from heaven. He didn't realize what he was hearing, and he kept on hearing Samuel, and he would go to Eli. What do you want? It's amazing how the natural can confuse us with the supernatural. And we can mix things up until we define and learn how to develop an awakening awareness that God is calling you with an invitation. And Samuel was like, Eli, what do you want? And finally Eli figured out and said, Samuel, here's what you need to do. Look to your neighbor and say, here's what you need to do. Sometimes we need a practical instruction for a spiritual connection. Some of us are in a room by ourselves looking for an angel to show up. And God said, no, I put it in my word. We need a practical application for a spiritual connection. Like I said earlier, some people are waiting for the blessings of heaven to flow, but they won't do a practical application of obedience. They won't write a tithe or an offering. Oh, I'll begin to give big when I receive big. And you never see big. Well, I'll be nice to people when they're nice to me. And you never begin to see great relationships. It's getting quiet. Let me think of something else that would step on your tongue, tick you off, and then make it. No. The practical applications comes from the truth of the word of God. And Eli told him, Samuel, here's what I want you to do. When you are awakened, when you become aware, you might say, next time you are aware that God is moving on your heart, next time you have this, look at this as a situation that God is giving you an invitation. Most people wait for God to back up the truck with the completion, and it doesn't start. He's completed it already in the kingdom of God. In the realm of eternity, it's already done. Do you see that? He already starts with the completion. He sees the end from the beginning, and before he began you, he completed you. And yet you don't see that. You only begin to become aware of it. Like Abraham, who was a fatherless individual, but God said, I'm going to call you a father of many nations. Why? Because God had already completed it, but he couldn't get to the completion unless he started, and he can't start unless he responds. And he told Samuel, next time you are awakened to the reality, something's going on, I want you to respond this way. And what was the response? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Yeah. A lot of us have a couple issues with that. One of us, we like to hear, but we don't like to listen, because listening is an action. Listening is an active role. We know that in our relationships. You might be talking to somebody and they got the remote in their hand and you say, are you listening to me? And, No, they hear us, but they're not listening to us. And all the ladies said, that was your opportunity to get some clear. God wants you to listen. You could be sitting here and hear me, but you're not actively listening. I'm reminded of a story. It's a videotape. I don't know if you're even familiar with this minister, but Kenneth Hagin Sr., who's been in heaven for many years now, a great man of God. And this goes back in the early 70s. And on the video, he was preaching to a massive crowd, and there was ministers behind him. And as I was watching the video, what got my attention wasn't just what he was saying. What got my attention wasn't the amount of people that he was talking to. What got my attention wasn't the pastors behind him. What got my attention was the response of the two ministers directly behind him. This had to be approximately 50 years ago, 50, 60 years ago. And behind him was two ministers, as they would typically probably do and have them sit. And one minister sat there on the bench right behind Kenneth Hagin Sr. as he was ministering. Legs was crossed. Dusting his jacket off, looking at his watch, looking over the crowd, look comfortable, casual. And then on the other, just a few feet away, another minister who sat, wasn't leaning back with his legs crossed, looking comfortable. He was sitting on the edge of his seat, this leg out, and his arm on his knee, and his eyes wide open, and he was staring at Kenneth Hagin, the man of God, as listening to every word he spoke. Yeah. I thought, oh my goodness, look at the difference between one who's a casual listener, yeah, or one who's an active listener. Yeah. All right. You say, who are they? The casual listener? Have no idea. Right. Have no idea. Never heard of him. Don't know what he did. I'm not saying he's good, bad, or he didn't. I have no idea. The active listener was Kenneth Copeland when he was in his early 20s. But it stuck out to me. Here's someone that was actively hungry to hear the Word of God. When you approach God, let me just be real. When you approach God, if it's church, Bible study, when you approach it casually, you end up getting not much. Because there's not much energy going toward it. There's not going to be much energy coming back to you. Right. The Bible tells us, James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I believe there's a couple benefits to this and reasonings for that. Because there's a lot of Christians that pray cold prayers and they can't expect hot answer. Come on. They sow not important offerings that they don't notice. So if you give an offering that you don't even notice, why do you think you'll get a harvest that you'll notice? Right. Offerings behind us. So just put this on as a note for future. It's amazing we try to give God the least and we expect the most. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. That means I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm actively listening. This is not lighthearted. This is important to me. I'm telling you, if you want to get things out of the Word of God, if you want to get things in your prayer life, if you want to get things out of a worship experience, then move beyond the moment of what's around you and begin to say, God, I'm so hungry. Even if they sing a horrible song or song I hate, I'm pressing in. God, I'm so hungry. Even if it seems like Pastor has no good stories, I'm going to press it. Pastor, Lord, I'm so hungry that I'm going to push in regardless of anything that could be a distraction to my moment with you. What's distracting you right now? Could it be someone walking by? Could it be somebody next to you? Could be something that you want? Could be something where you're going later on? Could be something you came out of yesterday? Is it a problem you need to solve? Is it a person you need to talk to? What isolates and separates you from the experience from God? Many times it's those distractions that the devil will use to keep you as Jesus walks by. Elijah just walked by Elisha and he touched him, tagged him, you might say. with this cloak, which represented the anointing, the mantle. And he kept walking by. Some of us, Jesus could walk right by and we never noticed. He could walk by and we could miss out on what he's wanting to say, what he's wanting to do. Why is my expectation so low, you might ask? Why do I don't expect anything? Many times it's because what we are feeding ourselves, we have no expectancy. And without expectancy, you'll not receive anything. Because Hebrews 6:12 and Hebrews 11 verse 33 says that it's through faith and patience we inherit the promise we receive from heaven through faith. Not through tears, not through pressure, not through panic, not through OMG. We receive from heaven by faith.
Amen.
And faith has to have an expectancy, a hope.
Yes.
And that's where the power of Thanksgiving kicks in. Just the other day I was driving and I was looking for a new location. I was running errands and I had my nav on because personally I get lost all the time. It's funny, but it's true. I can laugh at it because I know myself. I get lost easily. And so I always have a nav. I won't even buy a car without a nav because I need the nav to tell me. And I still sometimes get lost. I think someone needs to create a nav where it starts yelling at you when you're really, really getting lost. But anyway, so I know how far off I am. But hey, don't get too excited about that. And so I was driving just the other day, and I'm driving down the road, minding my own business, just driving the speed limit. I think it was 40 miles an hour, which is an unusual thing for me. And so I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden, this minivan passes me, buzzes right by me. Now, I don't know, and again, it might be my personal issues, and if it is, please pray for me. You might not relate to this at all. I think somebody in the house will relate to me. And so the first knee-jerk reaction I had when a minivan passed me was, I was just wanting to let them know they shouldn't do that. Not with a California hello, not by a greeting or anything, because we're Christians, right? But there was something on the inside, and I don't know if it's because when I was younger, I liked to race a lot, you know what I mean? And I got my own stories of, and please don't do that at home, okay? So I've said that, and I'm off the hook from your kids that's listening to me. But, you know what I mean? I don't know if it's because I used to like racing, but the idea of, you know, when a faster car would always pull up next to you, and they're trying to get you to race, or they buzz by you, or buzz by you on the highway, you know what I mean? It's frustrating. It's even more frustrating when it's a minivan. It's like an insult, right? It's like, are you kidding me? The only thing to make it worse is if it was somebody on a bicycle, then you're just like, you. But when someone buzzes by you, it's kind of like, what's their attitude? I don't know. I read it attitude, nonverbal attitude, and maybe people don't do that. I have a tendency of trying to read into stuff, and so if someone's riding my tail, I read that as an attitude. If they're buzzing close to my, coming from the lane I'm in and coming up fast, that is an attitude to me. That's an attitude that needs proper correction. Right? And usually it turns out to be, and no disrespect to anybody, usually it turns out to be like a 17 or 16-year-old girl who has no idea what they're doing, and they're talking on their phone and looking at it as they're going 90 miles an hour. Now, in the guy world, it's like a fight. It's a threat, right? How dare they? And so I had all this stuff internally going on when this minivan, I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then it dawned on me that the speed limit wasn't 40, the speed limit was 55 on that private side road. So here I am, I thought I was driving the speed limit, but the car that passed by me, I was getting frustrated with, but all they were doing was driving to the speed that was available. Sometimes we get mad at people and we take it at a personal offense when they pass us, but maybe it's not us at all they're thinking about. Maybe they are just driving to what's available. I was unaware that it was 55. Because if it's 55, that means I can go 65. Oh, I know, just that's what's available. Some of us in life, we get mad at people if they do well, not realizing that it's available to us. And I wasn't aware of it. And I want you to understand, there's a lot of different words used in the Bible, but you can say it awakening. You can say the eyes of your understanding seeing. You can say whatever you want. You can call it revelation, call it what you want. It really is becoming aware of what's available.
Yes.
Becoming aware of what is available. You can go through Thanksgiving, and we talked last week that Thanksgiving is a great attitude of gratitude that we need to develop, but it also allows us to step into a place of becoming aware of what is available that we don't see. Because if you're only thankful for what you do see, you are a good individual. But if you want to be a spiritual, supernatural, powerful person, then we got to begin to look at, like Jesus did, who we saw last week's example, who had a little boy's lunch, which was not enough. Have you ever been in a phase of life where it was not enough?
Oh, yeah.
And the Bible says he lifted it up. He didn't hide it. Most of us want to take what's not enough and put it behind us and just pretend, fake it till you make it, that we have enough. And no, Jesus brought it out, because if you don't bring it out, you're not aware of what he can bring in. But anyway, and he lifted it up and began to give thanks, and then he broke it and gave it away, had it all set up for people to receive. And as he began to share, we know the story, it multiplied. Say it multiplied. Power of Thanksgiving. Because Jesus was aware of the God he served.
Amen.
Or Abraham, who wasn't in a situation that he just couldn't get to that level, that he didn't have enough or was short in the amount. Abraham had, if you put abilities in the bank account, Abraham was in the red. I know you don't have any idea what that means, but I think we've all been there one time of our life, especially when you hand your debit card over or credit card to the store clerk. Has that ever happened to you? And they take it, and you're wondering, wonder if that's going to go through, right? And you hand it over, and you're sitting there quietly praying within yourself, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Come on, we've all been there one time of our life. And all of a sudden, they swipe that card, and then they look. And right about that time, you were coming up with stories of what, I don't know what my spouse spent. He went shopping or she went shopping. I mean, you're already coming up with stories. And a long delay. Have you ever had a long delay? And you're, come on. And all of a sudden, your imagination starts going crazy. And if you go to some stores, when it does clear, it's a horrible sound. Have you noticed that? I think it's Target. You go through, and all of a sudden, they go, dan, dan, dan. I complained one time. I said, make it a bell or something. Ding, 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 ding. Anybody who hears, dan, 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 that is not a good sound. Especially when you think it's not going to go through in the first place. And then the person responds, oh, our system has been so slow. Start that off with the conversation, would you please? You hand them the card. They should say, the system's been acting real slow, so give me a second. Not make you sweat. Now you got to go back and buy some clothes that you just done messed up and changed. Come on. So anyway, I don't know where I was even going with that story. I'm in so deep now. Abraham. If abilities were money, Abraham was in the negative. And the Bible tells us in Romans 4 that he did not consider his own body, nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. What is he saying? He did not look to his bank account. He did not look at it as a deciding factor if he was going to take a step and keep moving with God. See, when God called him out from his country, his family, his tribe, he actually told him, don't bring anybody with you except for your immediate family. And he still brought his nephew Lot, which is another story for another time. But just that little disobedience almost created him a huge headache down the road. But Abraham decided that if I'm going to obey God, it's not going to be based on what I can do. The Bible says that he chose that if God said it, I'm going to believe that he can do it. And I can't base it on my ability. Which means that if if I have nothing to do it, but God reveals in his word what is awakened to me, what is possible, when I become aware that I'm driving 40 in a 55, I can sit there and say, wait a minute, I can keep doing this, and you can live in the world of 40 in a lane of 55. Or you can say, wait a minute, if God says I can go 55, I'm going to put the pedal to the... You guys are driving too fast. I can tell the way you responded to that. You knew exactly where I was going. I'm going to put the pedal to the metal. I'm going to begin to live at the level that's available to me. I'm aware to it. And he didn't say it. I wonder if I can't. No, he said, if God said it, I'm going to give him thanks for it. Romans 4, he glorified God in it, that if God said it, he, God, was well able. Amen. Say, well able.
Well able.
Well able. Come on, shout, well able.
Well able.
You know what that tells me? Are you listening? It's no big deal to God. It's not a big deal to God. God never looks at the situation and says, wow, to get you to become healed and have energy, whoo, that's going to take a lot of work. What's harder for God, healing somebody of a cold or healing somebody from cancer?
Neither.
They're both easy. Say, they're both easy. What's harder for God, getting you out of debt or making you so blessed that you could be a financial supporter of ministries around the world? Listen, neither. They're both easy. If all you expect is, Lord, help me make rent by the end of the month, then you have, Lord, you are driving 40 in a 55, and I'm telling you what's available to you is something greater. Iron sharpens iron. Don't let the successes and victories of other Christians cause you to slow down. Let it awaken you to, if they're driving that fast, maybe there I can go that fast. If they're living at that level, maybe I can live at that level. If they're doing that, maybe I could do. If God did that for them, then God can do that for me. And get in the Word of God and find the promise. Let it awaken you so you can begin to respond correctly and begin to activate and receive what God has for you. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's the whole thing about faith. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says that, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Right.
If it needs to be made or become clear to my natural eyes before I believe it with my heart and awaken to it with the hope that can be in me to develop the faith and activate my faith so that I can receive it, it will never come to you. If you're waiting for it to become obvious to your natural eyes, it doesn't work that way. For the kingdom of God, the Bible says in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. That means it doesn't come because it's obvious to your natural mind. It has to become obvious to your spiritual mind. Obvious, and that's why Jesus said, they have ears to hear, but there's no understanding. They have eyes and they do not see. They have hearts, but they don't receive any understanding. Why? Because there's natural vision, but there's spiritual vision.
Right.
That's not a woo-woo. That's getting an awareness in your heart that, wait a minute, I'm driving 40 in a 55 lane. Wait a minute, I'm living at one level, but God has said he's got more than enough.
Amen.
Wait, I'm dealing at this level, but God says that I have the ability, the potential through his power,
yes.
Not mine.
Yes.
And then it's responding, saying, God, what do you want me to do? Get it in the word. Following the natural instruction to the spiritual connection. Most people want a spiritual encounter, but they don't want a natural connection. Most people, they want the Holy Ghost goosebump, but they don't want to hear what the word of the Lord says. And I'm telling you, you can develop yourself spiritually by praying, but if you haven't developed yourself with the word of God, you'll become what a lot of Christians have. They are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because there's no foundation, there's no root. We need the word. We need prayer.
Yes.
We need the presence of God. We need the truth. God works in unity with him, within himself. Lord, do this. It's available. God says, that's not how it works. What do you mean it's not how it works? Can't I just call up God like I would to Santa Claus? No, God begins, he's already completed it, and he says, do you trust me enough to follow me?
Yeah.
I want you to begin to become aware of something you don't see in the natural. I want you to be aware of who I am and what I can do beyond you. I want you to be aware of that. And then I'm going to show you not only who I am, out of that you're going to see who you are, and I'm going to ask you to take a step. Say, take a step. Come on, shout, take a step. That's going to be different for different people. For Samuel, it was, speak, Lord. And then God began to open up the prophetic to him. For Abraham, it was, I'm going to follow. Even when I don't know where I'm, can you imagine planning a trip like that? Come on, family, we're going on a trip. Where are we going? We're selling a house. Oh my, where are we moving to? I don't know. That's crazy. And I'm not telling you to sell your house and start driving. But if God tells you to sell your house and start driving.
Yeah.
And most people look for an emotion. If you're waiting for emotions, they come and they go. But when you have connected to the truth of the Word of God, because there is times that Abraham even doubted within himself in the journey. And we'll close with this. Have you ever doubted in the journey? God, I started. Lord, I remember that one week, that Sunday, I made a commitment. God, what's wrong? I begin the process. Why can't the one step be the only step in my journey? And yet the Bible says with faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. That means it's not a one step.
Right.
It's not a one moment. It's a journey.
Yes.
It's a process of repetition that allows you to get to your destination. God, I've done the one thing. Why can't you fix it all? I've already fixed it. I need you to walk this out. How do I walk it? Keep doing what I show you to do.
Right.
And Abraham, catch this, Abraham in the journey, not before the journey, in the journey. The father of faith, the Bible says, in the journey, begin to doubt. In Genesis 15, and let me just start because of time. Verse 2, so God shows up and says, don't be afraid, I'm your shield and your exceeding reward. And Abraham said, Lord God, what will you give me? Seeing, notice the emphasis on that word, seeing, I go childless. Here is Abram. And he sees himself based on his situation. He sees himself based on his inability. He sees, Romans 4 sees him differently. But the Genesis 15 at that time, if all you read is Romans 4, if all you read is Hebrews 11, then you're going to see, man, Abraham was a man of faith. He was a father of faith. He had it down. But the real deal is the Bible even shows the humanity in our frailty. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God and not men. Notice again, seeing, I go childless. Seeing, his perception was that even if God blessed him, it doesn't go anywhere. What's the big deal if you bless me? I don't need money. I need the promise. Seeing, I go childless. And Abraham, verse 3 said, behold, to me you have given no seed. And lo, I no one, and one born in my house is my heir. He's saying basically that I have no seed that comes from me. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, this shall not be your heir, but he that comes forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And God, catch this emphasis here, and God brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Notice what he did. Where was he? What did he do? He brought him forth. He brought him out. He brought him forward. When God deals with you, even in the hangups of your journey, when you begin to doubt, keep coming back to the word and let the Spirit of God reveal the word. And he's not going to punish you. He's not going to ridicule you. He's not going to make you feel bad. He's not going to dog and diminish you. He's not going to say, I can't believe it. All this I've done for you. Look where I brought you. Look, I'm here. I could be talking to John down the road. I'm talking to you. What's the problem? I could have picked anybody. I picked you. You should be grateful. No, God didn't ridicule. God didn't push him down. Religion and the world will make you feel less for making a mistake. God says, I know what you're seeing, but let me help correct the what you see so that you can see correctly. And he brought him forward. When God deals with you, he doesn't push you back and say, sorry, start at the beginning of the game again. He says, let me take you forward. Lord. I know where you're at. You think that's the end. That is not the end. Let me bring you a step forward. Let me move you forward. And by allowing you to come forward, I can change your perspective. He brought him forth, notice, abroad. That means to a bigger place. When God gives you correction from his word by the Spirit of God, it will always bring you forward, and it brings you to a bigger, better place.
Amen.
That's why David said, search me like a book, and if there's anything evil, remove it. Why? Because David knew that the direction and correction from God brought him to a better place and a bigger place.
Amen.
See, and I go childless. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now. You know what that tells me? Abraham was in a tent. In the tent is what he could provide. In the tent, when he would look up, he would see the ceiling of his greatest ability. If all he looked at is in his tent, then he only saw himself based on what he could provide. And based on what he could provide, he saw himself as childless. But God says, I know you see yourself as childless, Craig Bruce translation, but let's come outside of you. Let's take you out of what you can accomplish. Let's take you out of what you can build. Oh, I built some great things, and that's wonderful, and that should be celebrated. But if all you're living is the max capacity of your ability, you have yet to step into God's ability in your life. See, God wants you to begin to experience and live and drive the line, the lane of life that you begin to look and say, wow, I can't do this in my own ability. I am living with the ability that God has provided.
Amen.
And God said, I want you to come out of the tent. Say, come out of the tent.
Come out of the tent.
Oh, you guys sound great. Say, come out of the tent.
Out of the tent.
Look to your neighbor and say, come out of your tent.
Come on,
I got to work you in closing. Say, come out of your tent. Some of us are stuck, buried, and we are anchored inside the tent. We are living life within our ability. Why don't you try this? Oh, no, I've tried that before and it failed. Oh, I don't think I could do that. Oh, I don't think God would allow me to have that. I don't think that's going to be my ability. I don't think that'll be my future. And you're stuck inside your tent. But if you want to see God do only what God can do, you got to be willing to let go of what's inside your tent. And God brought him outside of the tent and said, look now, what was God showing him? We know he said, now count the stars. Why? Because God said, you've been looking at what you can build. Let me show you the canopy of what I can do. Look at this. He began to redirect his focus on God's ability, not his ability. See, that's what's being said in Romans 4. He considered not his own body, but he believed that the God who said it was well able. Why? Because he had seen God's handiwork.
Right.
If God can do that, and God said, see those stars? Count them. I don't know how long he counted. He might have got the idea right at first. Some of us would have counted for a while. My left brain logical self, I'd probably said, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. I probably would have gone through a process and I probably kept messing up and saying, did I count that one already? And I'd start again and go through it. I'd try to organize it. I would try to section it off how many. I might even block it off and say, okay, 1/8 of that is this amount times 8. We could say that times this and try to figure it out mathematically. So I wouldn't have to, I would have tried to figure it out. But Abraham came quickly, I would think. I don't know about me. I might have taken a little longer. I finally would have given up and said, God, I can't count. Do you know what God wants you to be aware of? That you can't measure him.
Yeah.
You can't count him. What he does, it can't be counted.
Amen.
David said, your power's without measure.
Yeah.
God wants you to begin to see him that way. And that comes from Revelation, that if I said I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. Why? Because you can't count what I've already done. And if you can't count what I've already done, why are you trying to count what I want to do in you? If you can't count where he's been, why do you think you can measure where he's going? We said, oh God. And we try to measure God's present and future in us through what we've done in our own past. Don't look at your past, look at his past.
Amen.
And I believe the Bible says he not only showed him the stars, he showed him the sand. So I believe that if he got discouraged during the day, he could look at the sand. If he got discouraged at night, which happens a lot, he began to look at the stars. Day or night, anytime, any phase, he made a way for him to see God, to see him, so he could begin to stay aware that I can't measure where God's been. So all I can do is to begin to trust of what he's doing. Isn't that awesome? Lord, I can't measure where what you've done. It's just mind-boggling. It blows my mind what you have done. And if it blows your mind what he has done, then maybe he wants to blow your mind on what he wants to do in your life. Amen. We're done. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Say, blow my mind, Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. If you bow your head and close your eyes, no one look around. If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking if you want to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking this one question. Is Jesus real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's really your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. Romans says it's with the heart man believes on a righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 says that those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't live the Christian life without Christ. You can't do it with discipline and trying to be a better person. It's coming to the relationship of who he is and who he is in your life. If you're here today and you do not have a real relationship, this is something that you shouldn't be talked into. It should be a real understanding of, do I know him? Is he real to me in a way that I know him, process, and experience? In my own world, if he's not, he can be. Let's pray this prayer together. Let it come from your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a fresh start. Say thank you, Jesus, for being my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen, church. Amen, church. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise.